And our reading today comes from Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my child, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
Well, thanks so much, Robin. It's wonderful to pray into the world and be considering, you know, how we respond wisely, which is our whole new series. We're starting a series today called The Good Life, and our aim is to glean wisdom from the Word of God and then live that well into the world. And so the idea is, how do we live the good life? And the good life is more than just stuff, really, and more than just knowing things. It's more than just the holidays you enjoy or the well-being of your family or how much money you have, even the length of your life. The good life is actually living well with God, and it's in this idea of walking in the way of the wise. And so how do we do that? How do we live a life that is actually a wise life? And so we find today is that there's so much wisdom out there. I don't know if you read many books or watch any self-help gurus on your feed, Instagram, YouTube, whatever you watch. And they constantly tell us how to live a wise life. We got a book from the library. It was really helpful. It had some really good wisdom in it. And it was interesting, but all these ideas, if you do this, a life will be good. If you only have this, a life will be fulfilled. If you own this, life will be better, I'm sure. And if you invest here, you'll become wealthy and life will be good. And so that's the wisdom of the world, but there's so much advice in the world. How do we find out what's actually true and right and good? How do we live a wise life in the face of the world out there? And I think part of the challenge is that the world today, we can know so much. In fact, this generation coming through apparently knows more than most generations coming through. But there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Here's a famous quote. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. That's, you know that, don't you? Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad, right? So you can know stuff that is true, that might be true, but the wise choice is working out how you live that out. And so for this generation and for our generation, like our world currently, everything is at your fingertips. You can ask Google. Does anyone know what this says? Hold on. LMGTFY. Let me Google that for you. So the information is there. We can access information, but there's a difference between having the information and knowing what to do with it. ChatGPT has taken over the world, hasn't it? Will you marry me? Let me ask ChatGPT for the answer. I'm not sure. And so wisdom is this practical way of working out that how do we live it out? What does it mean? I heard on the radio this week where a lady was giving a training in kids' church to the kids' church leaders and had one of the youth there. It's not our church. And the 14-year-old girl piped up and said, "I don't need to do this. I've already done this for a couple of years. I know everything there is to know." And the lady's giving the training going, "Wow, I've been doing this for 25 years. I don't know anything." And so that's the idea of wisdom. It's working out that we actually don't know stuff and knowing that we need to be taught. We need to learn. We need to grow. And it doesn't matter where you are on the journey. It's this humble, teachable attitude of sitting under God, the Creator, and realizing, man, there's stuff I don't know. I need to be learning, and how do I learn that? How do I create a posture of learning and growing? And so that's the heart of the book of Proverbs. It's the slow, ongoing process of learning and growth, interacting with the world, interacting with people and interacting with God, and then applying that into real life situations in which you live. And so what Proverbs shows us is that wisdom actually comes from God. It's, there's a distinction, as I said, between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom in the Hebrew Bible is this word called chokmah. That sounds like a great word, doesn't it? You've got to sort of get that guttural kind of sound. And it was first used in the Old Testament for a guy named Bezalel in Exodus 31. Now, if you're in the art hub, you'll know the word Bezalel. And he was an artisan, he was a creator, and he created the tabernacle. And so he was given wisdom from God to do practical skills. And so this idea in the Old Testament is that wisdom is more than just knowing stuff. Wisdom is the practical knowledge of how to put it into practice. And so it's working out how stuff works, how the world works, and then doing the right thing into the world. And if we know that wisdom comes from God, and God is the ultimate creator of all things, God imagines things, they form and forms them out of nothing, that is wisdom in a sense. In some ways, as we do that, we image God. So, you know, God imagines the elephant and brings it to life. You know, I've been watching the whales splash and jump around the ocean, the dolphins flying up and down the coast, and there's so much sea life out there, and the shark at Winoona during the week. I hope you didn't in the water. Did you hear about that? There was a shark at Winoona Beach on Friday afternoon. It was quite amazing. Yeah, my kids were down at the beach. It was really exciting. But God imagines all these things, you know. He creates rainbows. He creates sky with majestic sunrises and sunsets. He imagines phloem and xylem and, you know, xylem in plants and things going up and down in plants. He sort of sees creatures like, he puts a clownfish in an anemone and they have to live together and think, why? That's just incredible. He creates bees and ants who become essential in functioning of the whole world. Without them, flowers wouldn't bloom and things wouldn't sort of be the way they are. God imagines and creates. And in the same way, wisdom is this imaginative, creative thing that we have within us, is looking at the world and then using that creative ability that we have to create. And so I love it. Like my mates who are builders and carpenters and roofers and whatever and plumbers, they imagine stuff. That's going to look amazing if we do that. And out of their imagination, they form something that is beautiful and good and brings joy to the world. Isn't that amazing? You know, as we think about people who are artists, like dancers and musicians and singers and artists, they create stuff that wasn't there before. And it's beautiful. And it's wisdom. That's what wisdom is. It's creating stuff that is beautiful. If God is the source and embodiment of all wisdom, as we create into the world, we are doing the wise thing. We are doing part of what God does. And so true wisdom begins with God. It's always got to start with God, doesn't it? Recognizing God's greatness in the midst of life and applying what we know in light of who he is, and humbly accepting our own limitations. Like, there's stuff we don't know, but I've got to be able to trust a God who does know. And that is the beginning of the journey of wisdom. I'm going to pray super quick, and then we'll run through Proverbs chapter 1 together as we begin our journey in the book. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we pray today for wisdom. We pray for ears to hear and hearts to respond. We pray that we'll be people who recognize you in your authority and give you the worship and honor that is due your name. Lord, help us to choose the wise path. Help us to be people who live differently because we are known by you and living under you in everything that we do. And thank you for the creative abilities that we have. Help us to use the stuff that we've got, the gifts that we have been given, for your kingdom and your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So on finding wisdom, where do you start? Like, how do you find wisdom? And Proverbs gives us a starting point. And it all starts, the opening title of the book tells us, this is the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. And we are in the pinnacle of Israelite history. We're in the year 970 BC to about 931 BC when Solomon died. And if you've been following along our sermon series last term, we were in 1 Samuel. There was Saul and then King David. King David had a son. His name was Solomon. Solomon ends up becoming king in 970 BC. And he is seen as the pinnacle of the Old Testament. So if you're reading the Old Testament, you wonder where it peaks. Well, this is the peak under the rule of King Solomon. And he is known for his wisdom. And there's a famous story that you may or may not know where God met Solomon in a dream, and God said to Solomon, "Ask me anything you want, Solomon. What do you want?" It's like meeting a genie almost, isn't it? And saying, "You've got three wishes. What do you want?" And he'd all ask for money and a good relationship and a nice car. And Solomon sits there and he's praying and thinks, "What am I going to ask for?" And he says, "I want wisdom. Give me wisdom and knowledge," he says, "that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern, to care for, to look after this great people of yours?" And God gives him wisdom. He says, "Because you've, you know, asked for wisdom rather than asking for money and, you know, women and wealth and power, you're going to get all those things as well." And so Solomon becomes known as the wisest man who lived in Israelite history and in sometimes in world history. And it actually happens, as you may or may not remember, straight away after he's been given wisdom, he goes on to there's two women who turn up, and they're fighting over a baby. And one says it's my baby, the other one says it's not, it's my baby, and they're having a big argument. And Solomon's sitting there going, "Oh, I don't know what to do." And so he has this sort of thing. He says, "All right, what we'll do is we'll get a knife, we'll get a big sword, we'll chop the baby in half. That'll solve it. You get half a baby each." And one woman starts weeping, "No, you can't chop the baby." And the other woman's going, "Yeah, that's fine, chop the baby in half, I'll have half." It becomes pretty obvious, doesn't it, which one is the mother of the baby. And he gives the baby to the mother, who is crying and weeping because it's her child. And so his wisdom becomes famous throughout the world. And so as you read on in 1 Kings chapter 4, following on the story of Solomon, this is what it says about him. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. So we have a few in the book of Proverbs, 3,000 he spoke. His songs numbered 1,005. That's a good number, isn't it? 1,005 songs he wrote. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to hyssop that grows out of the walls. He spoke about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. He was an early scientist. Do you get that? He's a guy who observed the world, and wisdom is looking at the world in which we live, observing it, and then living out of that place of recognizing there is a God. He made the world. I'm observing it. How do I live well in light of what's happening? And so we find that he speaks proverbs. Now, proverbs are like riddles or sayings. If you read verse 6, they're sayings and riddles of the wise, and they contain truth that you can apply to the world. And so the aim of a proverb is to give you truth, but you've got to kind of chew on it. You've got to wrestle with it. It's like I could say to my kids, "Clean your room." But that they go, "Nah, Dad." But or I could say, "Look, you know, a wise person looks after their environment, you know." And they kind of help us go, "Oh, really? What does that mean?" And so you have to chew on it. And so we have proverbs in English. You know, we have one like, "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush." And my dad told me that. I'm going, "What does that even mean, Dad?" "I don't know. Birds in the hand. I don't have any birds in my hand." And you've got to go away and think about it. "Go home and think about it, son." I'm going, "All right." You know, you've got to go home and work it out. What's he even talking about? You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's not necessarily literal, but it kind of helps. Eat some fruit. That's good for your diet. A penny saved is a penny earned. I didn't earn any pennies. I didn't even know what a penny is, Dad. You know, a watch pot never boils. Like, what's that even mean? But you go home and you think about it. So you've got to chew on these things. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I'm going, "Dad, my dad told me all these. I have no idea what he meant. It took me years to work it out. Sometimes I don't even know. Still, yeah." You know, but that's the idea of Proverbs. It's not simply getting do this, do that. So it's not a promise that if you do this, eat it, if you eat an apple a day, you're never going to have to go to the doctor. Like, you might get sick, but it's good advice. And they're meant to be chewed over and ingested, then become part of your life. So I'd encourage you to read the book of Proverbs if you haven't. I think it's really, really helpful for people who are not yet believing in God to read the book of Proverbs, because it is just life. How do you live a good life? And go and read it. So as you read the book of Proverbs, just quickly, it's divided into two main sections. Section 1 is chapters 1 through 9. And it's an introduction to wisdom. It's like a father telling his son how to live wise and well. What do you do? How do you choose the right path? Which way do you go? And it's this encouragement to listen to the right voice. And then the second part of the book you may or may not have read is all these short sayings, hundreds of short sayings that need to be chewed upon, reflected upon, and applied. They're hints about living the wise life. You know, and so you probably have your favorites. If you haven't, go back and have a look at them. And so in the first few verses, Solomon tells us why this is important. We can find wisdom in Proverbs, but why would it be important? And he has these four different reasons why. There's a bunch in verses 2 to 6. I'm going to focus in on these ones. First of all, for gaining wisdom and instruction. Notice it's you gain something, and it's gaining wisdom and instruction. The idea here is that you can actually grow in wisdom. You can actually grow in being a wise person, and the idea is that you actually work out how to live in the world here. You listen to those who've gone before you. Maybe your dad does know stuff. You work that out eventually, don't you? You know, maybe the person down the road does know little things more about the world than you. You listen, and so you gain wisdom and instruction by listening to these words. And it's something that you grow in, you don't give up on. Secondly, for understanding words of insight. I think the idea here is being discerning about what is true. Like, there is so much wisdom out there in the world. How do you discern what is right? How do you know what is true? How do you know which is the best way to go? And so you go back to the Word of God as your foundation, and then you're able to look at what the world says. Work out, is that true? Is that right? Is that the way that I should go? Is that the path I should follow? So these words help you gain words of insight, working out truth from error. Thirdly, it says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. We don't really use the word prudent very much, do we, anymore? Like I heard the Beatles song, Dear Prudence. That's all I ever knew what prudence was. I thought it's a girl's name. But it actually is it's a thing that we do. Like, being prudent is a care or caution, a good judgment in looking ahead, being prepared for what might come your way, governing your world, looking after your world around about you. In Proverbs 27 there, it says, a prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. In contrast, the simpleton goes blindly and suffers the consequences. So a prudent person, you're gaining, living a prudent life, working out what's coming up and living a life well today in light of a life that might be ahead for you. And so it's helping us working out what's ahead of us. And then finally, he says, for doing what is right and just and fair. Proverbs here, 2 verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path, you'll be able to choose the right path. It's the wisdom to know how to act in any situation. How do I act fairly? How do I implement justice? How do I respond in a way that is right in this situation? And so in some ways it's doing the God thing, isn't it? Because if God is the author of righteousness and justice and fairness, it's actually living a godly life into the world. And we all need that, don't we? We need help. So where do you go? You go here. And so we find that wisdom helps us. He tells us it's good. And then he tells us who's it for. Because you might be thinking, no, I know all this stuff. I've been around for a little while. And sometimes we begin to think that because he starts off with young people. It gives prudence to those who are simple. It's not necessarily simple as in, you know, mental ability. It's more about a person who's not firmly committed to their thinking or their understanding. They haven't quite worked it out yet. They might be easily misled. They might be immature. They might just believe everything. And it's kind of helping you work out what's true and right for those who are simple. Knowledge and discretion to the young. We think the young should know a bit more. Is that right? I remember when I was young, I thought I knew everything. I knew nothing. And I needed help. And we go, it's for the young and for the simple. But then it goes on to say, let the wise listen and add to their learning. It reminds us it doesn't matter where you are. You always need to add to your learning. You need to be growing, keeping on growing in your faith, growing in your learning. Let the discerning get guidance. We need help. And so the path to wisdom is actually the road walked in humility, isn't it? It's recognizing it doesn't matter where I am on the journey, I'm not there yet. And I can still learn. I can still grow. And I love that at the 8 o'clock church, it's a bit older than you guys. And there's just people here who've been in church their whole life. And they're still here and they're still learning and they're still going back to the Word of God and realizing, I need this. That is the life of walking in the way of the wise. And so finally today, he wraps up with this idea of the source of wisdom. Where do you go? Where do you go to find wisdom and find the right life? And he says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. in Proverbs 9, verse 10 there. He says, similar kind of verse. I think the words here, knowledge and wisdom, are interchangeable. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so the idea is that wisdom, knowledge, to live the good life, actually comes from God. It's recognizing God. So when you hear the fear of the Lord, it's not like trembling in fear of God. It's actually recognizing, man, God is so much bigger than I am. He is the creator of the universe. He probably knows more stuff than I do. I want to live in a right relationship with him and listen to him and maybe learn some things from him. It's recognizing who he is. You know, a girl at school once said to me, who does God think he is to tell me what to do? Well, he's God. He created the world. He might know a few more things than you do. You know, a recent question in primary school scripture this week was, why is God so special? That's a great question, isn't it? Why is God so special? Well, if he is special, you want to listen to him. And so we talked about why God is so distinct from us. And so the fear of the Lord is this proper recognition of who God is and going, maybe I can learn something from him. It's kind of like this, you know, the maths teacher at the local high school has been teaching maths for like 100 years, quite literally, probably a long time. And she's been getting results every year in the HSC. She knows how to get kids through. She knows her stuff. She deserves respect because she is a good maths teacher. And then you get the year nine kid who turns up and goes, well, I watched on TikTok this week that, you know, the best way to do this, you've got it wrong, miss, and it happens. And it's that kind of attitude towards the person who deserves respect. It's going, you know nothing, when in actual fact, they're the person we should listen to and respond to. And it's the same way that we can kind of end up treating God. We imagine that we can tell God what to do. We can tell God how to fix things. We think that we know more than God. We think that we know how life should work, God, and I'm going to tell you how to fix it. The worst one I've heard is someone say, when I meet God, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Are you serious? Well, you think you can tell God what to do? No, he's God. And so the fear of the Lord is actually this beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, is recognizing, man, I am nothing. He is everything. And so we need to slow down. I think the warning sometimes is that we can begin to think that we've got there. And I think the warning of Solomon was he thought that he got there, I reckon. He was a wise guy, but you know that he did fail like quite dismally in his life. And I imagine that, you know, he kept on picking up all these wives and all this wealth, and it kept on leading him astray from God. And I reckon he thought, you know, I've got it sorted. I'm the wisest man there ever was. You can't tell me what to do. And he kept on making choices after choice after choice that led him away from God. C.S. Lewis says this in his book, Mere Christianity. It's on the bookshelf. If you haven't read it, please read it. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Isn't that interesting? When you think you've got it all together, you don't need to look up. You're looking down at everyone. And so the fear of the Lord is this recognition that God, who is far beyond anything I can think of or dream or imagine, he knows stuff I don't know. Maybe I need to listen to him. Maybe I need to slow down and sit under him, because that's where our foundation starts. And lastly, if you had your Bible in front of you, in verse 8 and 9, he says that wisdom is meant to be part of who you are. And he encourages son, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Keep on coming back to this. You need this. And then he says, they are like a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck. They are something beautiful that you put on as you walk in the way of wisdom. Don't forget, wear it. Let it become part of who you are and step out in the wisdom of the Lord. And so just to wrap up today, a couple of quick things I had thought about. First of all, Proverbs is actually about living well. It's living the best life now. It's wisdom from God who knows what is best and helping you find purpose and meaning and direction in life. And that's helpful for us, but I can tell you that's helpful for everyone in the world, because everyone's looking for purpose, is that right? Looking for meaning, looking for what do I do in the world? How do I live well? And they're buying all those self-help books. It's interesting, the one that we got at the library this week, it's not quite by a Christian author, but man, it's all biblical. I'm going, wow, he's just quoting half the Bible here, but he's not even quoting the Bible because it's all out of the Bible. And so we want to come back to God in living well and finding that this is where you begin. You know, I think as a guy, sometimes we imagine we know stuff. I got a new mower the other day, like an electric mower, because our old one broke. And I just ripped it out of the box and started going for it. Didn't read the instructions, you know, as we do. But sometimes it's helpful to slow down and read the instructions, isn't it? And that's what the Bible is. And my wife's going, yeah, that's really true. That's what it is. It's slowing down and realizing, I don't know, I need help. The contrast, as you'll see, second thing I want to say, the contrast you'll see through the book of Proverbs is always the wise and the fool. And the call of the Bible is always to choose the wise path. We'll see Jesus encourages us to be wise, and the way we come back to that is by recognizing God. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I can do it. I've got life sorted out. I don't need God. Don't be the fool. The third thing I want to come back to and land us with always is we've got to come back to Jesus. We are the Just Jesus Church, and there's a reason for that, because Jesus was, as we'll see, we travel through this series, the wisest person that's ever lived. He lived in communion with God, and everything he did flowed out of that state of walking in wisdom under God his Father, and he lived that out every day. And so I want to work out what it means to be a wise bloke in society in 2025. I'm going to go look at Jesus. And he helps me to live a wise life. And so I go back and I read his words. I get direction from the Bible. I sit with him and listen to him and find that he is the God that I need. I want to walk the wise life. I want to live the good life. Walk the way of the wise. Where do I go? I don't go to a self-help guru. I go to Jesus. So take your time and find that space with him. And so the invitation is real. I want to encourage you. Some of your mates probably need to hear some of the stuff we're going to be talking about. How about living the wise life over this series? It's probably a good one to invite them along to, or listen to the podcast, like the YouTube channel. Go and have a flick through. This could be really helpful for you. And it's that space to be inviting people in to, I think, as well. Or even just say, have you read the book of Proverbs lately? I never read it. Have a read. It's helpful. It helps you work out how to live a good life, you know. So encourage you, if you haven't found Jesus yet as your way of living, as your wisdom, I'd love to come and chat with you. Please grab me at the end. I'd love to pray with you. And if you need to pray, use the prayer room, please. Just take some space. God, I need help with this. I don't know what to do this week. There's two choices before me. Show me which way to go. And we trust that God will give you wisdom in the way that you should go. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that wisdom begins with you, that you are the creator of all things, that you form us out of nothing, you form this world out of nothing, and it's by your wisdom, and in some ways we get to image that as we are creative, as we use the things and skills that you've given us for your kingdom and for your glory, and just to bring beauty into this world. So Lord, help us with that. Help us in all the different decisions we have every day, to choose the wise path. Help us, Lord, to live the good life that comes from recognizing who you are and living under your authority. Lord, please help us to keep on coming back to you. And Lord, help us to see Jesus as the one that we need, as the one who shows us what real wisdom looks like in the everyday. Lord, we need him. Please help us this week as we step out to be men and women who walk the way of the wise and who are able to show others that way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.